Greetings, this is Reverend Juliet Nightingale, and welcome to this transmission of Toward the Light, Leading Back to the Source. This is a program centered on near-death, out-of-body, and similar spiritually transformative experiences, including what people should know about the dying process, the many facets of after-death communications, living interdimensionally and being multisensory, intuition and telepathy, and more. We feature special guests who are both experiencers and researchers in the realm of NDEs. You're welcome to call in to ask questions or make comments during the show. Ring toll-free at 877-876-5227 in the U.S. or 888-810-8322 in Canada. Otherwise, you can ring direct at 530-876-3222. There are a number of services available through our organization Toward the Light, providing near-death studies and support, Reiki and remote healing, psychic, spiritual, grief, and motivational counseling, NDE books and videos, and other products for body, mind, and spirit. I'd also like to encourage you to help support this program and BBS by making a donation or sponsoring a show. For more information, please visit towardthelight.org. This week, we are going to conclude part two of the Great Shift, Times of Change, the Great Shifting, there we go, with my special guest and friend, PMH Atwater. Welcome, PMH.
Well, hi. I'm just glad to be here.
Well, it's so wonderful to have you, and I think people have been sitting on the edge of their seats waiting to hear more of what you've got to share.
Oh, really? Well, it's such timely material.
Oh,
and I think this kind of material really helps us to prepare ourselves.
I think you're absolutely right about that, and that's why all of the wonderful astrological input that astrologers like you offer, and then both of us are doing our psychic work, just helping people to make more intelligent decisions along the way whilst they're sort of in the middle of this turbulent kind of being a little dinghy out in the middle of the sea feeling at times.
Right. Well, bear in mind, my material is always comes from objective research, from science. It also comes from the metaphysical arts, which, of course, is astrology, our own intuition, our revelations of various esoteric and mystical people throughout time. So I never come from any one source.
Right.
That is to say, on the earth plane. Only one source, you know, in reality, but on the earth plane, always many sources.
Exactly.
And I feel that's where the strength is.
Yes, yes. And last week, you were actually describing some of the changes in the previous years, and I think we got up as far as 2006 and were starting to tap into 2007. So,
yeah, I'd like to do just a little brief review.
Ooh, sure,
to sort of bring people back to what we're really talking about.
Great.
Because when you read the headlines, when you turn on the television, when you're just in your backyard watching it unfold, and literally changes are that big and they're that close to you, you kind of sort of lose yourself in the drama of it all and get stuck in some of this little stuff, which seems to be extremely big, and of course it is, but when you have a notion that you're part of a historical cycles and phases, and that part of what's going on is natural, then it sort of brings you back to center, and you realize you don't have to panic, you know, that it's not the end of the world. That the earth world has been through this before.
Right, and that's an important thing to point out, PMH, because some people are still really nervous. Oh my God, it's going to be the end of the world. Well, the end of things perhaps is we've known them in a certain respect, but not the end of the world.
Well, certainly, and yes, and maybe the end of a lifestyle.
Yes, yes.
And maybe an end to that second house. And maybe the end to that second and third car. You know, we might have to make some very real changes in our lives that might seem restrictive, But when you take another look at them, you realize, no, that actually frees you to enjoy your life in a more relaxed and beneficial way, maybe. So there's lots of different ways of looking at it. But what I want, what I would invite the audience to realize is the kind of cycles that are ending now or coming to an apex or a peak. In other words, you know, whenever a cycle ends, you've got this incredible emphasis or push in ending that cycle. And no cycle ends overnight. It takes decades for a cycle to complete itself because they're that huge. So we're talking about a cycle now of 25,920 years. So that is what I would call a really big, 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 big cycle. That is now coming to its conclusion. So it's what in astrology we call the ending of a cosmic year, when everything has gone around the galactic center. And it takes that long for all the constellations to go around the galactic center. And age is about, 2,190 years or something like that.
Okay, that's what I thought. So this actually, we're going through each of the signs which...
Well, everything is concluding.
Yeah.
Everything
yeah.
is concluding, Juliet. It's not the end of an age.
Yeah.
And the ending of an age is only 2,190
right,
years or something
cycle.
Like that.
All the way around the wheel that we...
Yeah, that's what we call an age in astrology. We call it a cosmic month.
Yes.
So we're talking about the entire
year
of all 12 signs or all 12 constellations that have gone around the galactic center. So we're talking about 25,920 years. So it's what I... it's a really big cycle.
Yeah.
But also scientifically... We know that about every 11,000 years we have what is called in science a wipeout. Don't you love that term?
Yeah.
A wipeout, where there's a great cataclysm. And we're on schedule for that as well. So we're on schedule for a whole lot of stuff, but that doesn't mean that it will happen in any particular way. It just means that we're on schedule for a really big shifting of our life as we know it. So I'd like to just sort of jump back into 2006, because the 3 years, 2006, 2007, where we are now, and next year, 2008, are the big cliffhangers. These are the most important years any of us will ever live through, that our planet will ever live through for about another 26,000 years. So these are the big ones. And we certainly got a taste of that in 2006. We are starting to get a taste of that in 2007. And we will again next year. However, of the three, the most intense is 2007 this year.
Wow.
And we started feeling it from day one.
Mm-hmm.
It is a time of real extremes, sudden changes, both really good changes and really not so good changes. You get both swings because it's extremism. So both ends of the pole get activated at once. And I also said last week that it was in July of 2006. The prediction was made, and this was by our financial community. This was not by any astrologer or psychic. They said within 15 years, 50% of the world's wealth will move from the United States and Europe to Australia and Asia.
And that's 50%. That's half.
That's half. Half of the world's wealth is leaving Europe and America, and it is moving to Australia and Asia. And Asia knows it, and I think so does Australia, but I know Asia does, and especially China, and they're getting ready now. So they're not waiting.
Is that my daughter's had dreams. She had a dream that I was suddenly moved to Australia. I've had dreams about moving to Australia or New Zealand for years, and I've just been so aware of Australia, so this is interesting.
Well, I'll tell you, it's very difficult to immigrate to either country because they have a very strict laws about that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was even strict 30 years ago. Actually, 40 years ago, it was really strict to get into those countries as an immigrant. So, you know, if you want to move to Australia, you maybe you better start working on it now and making those contacts now.
Well, I'm English, but I maintain if I'm supposed to be somewhere, then spirit will open the gates for me, and if not,
right,
then never mind.
Right, and you'll just slip right through.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's interesting to be aware of this, that we have done for a few years, just really aware of Australia becoming louder in our consciousness and just
it is
showing up a lot more.
It is. Australia is incredibly important. And that is the one country that is I'm just adding this as a little brief aside, but that's the one country who has realized that the new children are here, our very new generation, and they're recognizing how new they are, and they're starting already to change their schools in substantial ways so that they can better work with these new kids. Because they've realized that the school system around the world, you know, I'm not talking just the United States, school system around the world is not built, created, and designed to handle the new children.
No,
the
indeed.
New children are 80% visual, spatial, and our school system, the curriculum, is 80% verbal. These are not verbal kids. These are spatial. They're abstractors. And already in Australia, they're converting their schools over to a new type of emphasis that works beautifully with us kids. It has improved grades and classroom attendance and retention and comprehension between 60 to 70%. That's huge. That's massive. And that's Perth, Australia, and some of the other cities in Australia. I mean, Australia is ahead of the pack. But let's sort of go back here, and I want to make another statement before I start rolling. And that statement really talks about the United States and our government, our finances, our energy, and the way we move in the world. And in July of 2006, that's last year, last summer, the same month when they made that prediction about the wealth, that's when astrologically Mars went retrograde in our chart. Now, that's not going to say anything to anybody except people like me. But what it's saying...
Are you talking about your country's chart?
I'm talking about the United States of America.
Yeah.
And its chart.
Okay.
That's when the United States began a 70-year cycle where our ability to communicate and judge situations will be questionable. We will not be on top of on top of things anymore. We will have to redefine war. We will have to redefine how we use energy. We will have to redefine our assertiveness and how people see us. It's the beginning of a time when we move into a cycle of woundedness. In other words, our great strength and our great potential now moves into a down cycle, now lowers, and it's there for 70 years.
Wow.
Next year, and I really want people to get the connection here, next year, toward the end of 2008, actually in the month of December 2008, Pluto, that big, huge, generational, revolutionary planet, moves into the sign of Capricorn.
Oh, okay.
And it's moving into the sign of Capricorn right after the elections. So it's not going to matter who wins. Not going to matter what party that wins, whether it's libertarians or, you know, Republicans, Democrats, doesn't matter who wins. The United States still begins to lower in its light. Our currency is very much challenged, if you want to use that word. our financial power in the world very much challenged. And I could go very deeply into that. I don't think it's really appropriate on your show to do that. But I just want to plant that little seed in everybody's mind, because we're already seeing it. But we're going to start feeling it in a very different and new way. And it's just going to affect all of us in how we do our financial planning, in how we regard ourselves and our own power. And, you know, it's really a time for a new message, a new story. We need to re-identify ourselves. And it's going to take real leadership to do that. The old leaders, the leaders that we have depended on in the past, are not going to do it for us. None of them are. It's going to take new leadership and a new vision for the United States to realize that we've got to use our energy differently, that the way we're using it now is not working, whether you're talking about personal energy, whether you're talking about the gas that you put in your car. I don't care what kind of energy you're talking about. The energy, all of our energy, is really now in decline, which means we have to diversify, which means we need to envision things from a different approach. If we're willing to do that, if we're willing to become more Capricornian, if you will, more practical, more honest, more truthful, and really willing to do the work, then no, we're not going to be at the bottom of anybody's ladder. But if we go on trying to live the way we used to, with the old idea and the old story and the old vision, we're going to fall flat on our face. So I did want to be able to help people connect the dots on that one. Now, let's move on. And as we're moving on, I want to again say that 2006, 2007, 2008 is where Pluto, and they say it's not even a planet now. Well, it doesn't matter what you want to call Pluto.
Exactly.
Its influence is still there.
Yeah.
And heavily felt. And Pluto is going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth over the galactic center. Now, the galactic center, the center of our galaxy, is a black hole with the mass of 2 million suns. Now, that's not astrology. That's pure science and astronomy. That has nothing to do with PMH Atwater. The galactic center, the center of our universe, is a black hole with a mass of 2 million suns. And, you know, it's just, it boggles your mind to even understand that. Well, the axes of that with the Milky Way, Pluto is going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth over that line. That's what gives you all this extremism. So you're getting it everywhere, and it will come when least expected. So it's that kind of unexpected changes that really kind of rock your boat. And they won't always be massive changes. There can be little changes, but they will still be extreme. It's like in our family, it was an hour and a half after we had entered the new year, and my husband was taking a friend of ours home to his place. He was traveling like maybe 5 miles an hour, making a turn, and some woman who didn't even have the lights on in her car just suddenly out of nowhere came up and just took out the right side of our car.
Oh, my goodness.
It had to be completely replaced. And you know, here you are. You're going all of maybe 5-6 miles an hour. You're being very careful. It's late at night. It's after midnight. And a person comes out of nowhere and just wipes out the right side of your car. You know, it's that kind of thing that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's when you least expect it, something almost invisible comes out and just changes your world.
Well, that reminds me of Uranus energy, too. That's my reading.
Well, yeah. Uranian energy is a lot like that. But we're going to see that from Pluto. All of it. Well, we saw it last year. We're seeing it next year, this year, and next year. You know, you got moved under these aspects.
Yes.
You know, you left where you were. You're now in the Boston area.
Yes.
So you got moved during these aspects. Okay, let me talk about this year. The biggest months of huge, massive changes are going to be July through October. And the center point of change is September 9th. So, you know, we're not quite there yet. So when you're talking summer and fall, those are that's literally the point of no return. Now, this is the time, 2007, when our fundamentalist brothers and sisters predicted the War of Armageddon. They believed that that would start in 2007. And that's because of the astrological alliance that occurs then between the bear, the dragon, and the lion in the sky and in those energies, which translates Russia, China, and Iraq, and against the West. All of that against the West. And we know now that Russia has now signed an alliance with both China and India and Iran, and they're now supplying Iran with their weaponry and with the kind of expertise that they need with their atomic energy and, you know, those kinds of plants. So there's a lot going on in that area. I'm certain that our fundamentalist brothers and sisters had probably had visions and glimmers of that. But in 2007 is also the time when the Bretton Woods Treaty comes under greatest attack. Now, the Bretton Woods Treaty is thanks to Woodrow Wilson. It's that time when the Federal Reserve Bank was established, the World Bank was established. They all come under the Bretton Woods Treaty. And it's that treaty that enables the world to pass currency back and forth as they do, that enables the banking business to operate as it does. And it's that treaty that is coming under tremendous pressure. It could collapse or somehow make a major change. Now we already know that the Federal Reserve Bank no longer publicizes how it reaches its figures. It stopped doing that last year. It no longer publicizes all the different rates and ratios and stuff like it used to, which makes China very, very nervous. This is why China is threatening to withdraw a lot of their debt money. And, of course, if they do, all of us will feel that. Just to give you some idea of how dynamic that is, if you have a mortgage, if anybody in the audience has a mortgage on their home, their condo, their apartment, their car, anybody who has a mortgage, 40% of your mortgage is owned by China. That's how much money we owe, that's how much of our debt China holds. It holds 40% of all of our mortgages. That big. So if China wants to divest itself of its holdings, its holdings is our debt, then what's that going to do to our currency? You know, dear old Lenin always said, you know, to reorder society, kill their currency.
Yes.
You know, so it, you know, makes you a little nervous about that kind of thing. Uranus enters Aries in 2010. I thought I would add that because, you know, when you're looking at the new kids all, you know, every generation has its energetic signature, its particular genetic or energetic signature. It's both positive and negative. And the new kids coming in, they started flooding in about 1982. Their positive is tolerance. I mean, these kids are so tolerant. It just puts all of the older generations to shame. But their negative signature is anger. And it's a peculiar kind of anger. It's not rage as we know rage. Rather, it's a real impatience with anything that's inauthentic, that anything that isn't really honest and real. They just have a real impatience with that.
I feel the same way.
They just can't handle it very well.
Yeah, yeah.
And so bear in mind that here's a generation a huge generation, lots and lots of kids, who have that particular energy signature of anger. So in 2010, Uranus is moving into the sign of Aries. Of course, you know, each sign has its positive and negative, but we generally associate Aries with energy, the pioneer, the warrior, the fighter, you know, anger.
The trailblazer.
You know, the trailblazer, the independent, you know, that individual that is initiator, that isn't afraid, you know, has that courage that can stand on their own, you know, get out there and stand on their own, sort of face off the world as it is. So we've got kids that are really challenged in handling the anger that they bring in. And what marches us through the end of the Mayan calendar, that particular portal, what marches us through that energy into the fifth world, and I think we're already there, but into more of it, it is going to just be heavily splashed with a lot of anger energy. And I think all you have to do is look around and see, well, yep, that's kind of what it looks like. And you know, we talk about the madrasas, where a lot of the fundamentalist Muslim children are educated. And these madrasas, the curriculum for the madrasas is based on a Mongol warlord back in the 1700s. So it's a very strange curriculum that they follow. Well, you know, we can't talk too loud because in the United States we also now have madrasas, and they're called Jesus camps. And I don't know if you've been following the newspaper, but I have. And there's been a lot of newspaper articles written on America's madrasas. And they're run very similar. They're very strict. They scare the willies out of the kids. They're called religious summer camps. And I'm looking at a particular news feature that was in a newspaper November 11 last year. And it calls the teachers counselors from hell. So these Jesus camps are really, really strict places that operate very similar to a Muslim madrasa. So, you know, we can't talk too loud about our tolerance because sometimes, you know, we are not as tolerant as we think we are. So, you know, when you just kind of back up for a little minute and realize how the energies are changing. Right now there's so much emphasis on spirituality. There's so much emphasis on the union between science and spirituality, and on the rise of spiritual tools and abilities and emphasis and you know, anything religious or spiritual is peaking now. Well, about 2010, it's going to go another direction. And that is the direction then of the sign of Aries. And so we're going to be moving in a different way. And I propose for your listening audience, for all of us, that now is not too soon, but certainly by 2010, you know, when we look at the sign of Aries, we're really seeing a warrior. We really are. If you're going to be honest, you're seeing that kind of energy, warrior energy. Does that mean we're marching into World War III? No, it doesn't mean that. But it does mean we're marching into a time frame with a very different flow of energy than what we have now. So let's work with it instead of against it. And if we're looking at, okay, the sign of the warrior, how about the sign of the spiritual warrior? Exactly. We can all begin then. A spiritual warrior applies spirituality. Okay, now we're learning about spirituality. You know, meditation, prayer, all these kinds of things. From 2010 on, certainly now as well, but from then, in a big way, applying what we've learned. so taking on then that spirit, that role of the spiritual warrior. Let me describe a spiritual warrior. A spiritual warrior is disciplined, and they always use their map. And I think I mentioned that last week. I'm going to mention again. MAP. M period, A period, P period. M for meditation, A for affirmation, P for prayer. Your MAP is meditation, affirmation, prayer. M-A-P, your MAP. That's whenever beautiful. You're confused, whenever you're in a hurry, whenever you're frightened, whenever you're troubled, pull out your MAP and use your MAP. A spiritual warrior always uses their map. A spiritual warrior is heart-centered. They have a clear head. They know the real issues, not just the fluff and the frosting. They protect the self with truth. They are wide awake. They are committed and focused. I would invite your audience to recognize that we're moving into a time period, not the peace movement, forget about that, not the war movement, forget about that, the wisdom movement. We're moving into a time of wisdom when we're all going to be required to take a stand, be at peace, do what it is for you to do, become your true self, and become an anchor for light on the earth. That is the way of taking the Aries energy, that really dynamic, loud, brash, impatient energy, and using it in a very committed, disciplined, clear-headed, and heart-centered way to become that spiritual warrior. Now, let me go on with the years to come, and I'm just going to give you the major ones. We've discussed a little bit about 2010. There are two different endings for the Mayan calendar, depending on how you interpret the calendar. One of them is October 28, 2011. The other one is December 21, 2012. So this is about a year's difference between the two. During that year's difference, energy jumps 20%. So look at the energy that we have now and how fast things are going, and imagine a 20% acceleration.
And well, people have an NDE, they can get an idea of what yeah. it feels like.
Now, boy, isn't that the truth, Juliet? Okay, now, in June 6th of 2012, that's the last of the two Venus eclipses. Now, remember, they're 8 years apart. They always come in twos, and those two eclipses are 8 years apart. We've already had one. The last of them is in 2012. It is during that 8 years between the two eclipses that we have the rise of powerful women in powerful ways. And we've certainly seen that. We're going to see a lot more of it. So for all of you ladies out there, you know, flex your muscles, honey. This is our time.
And that's wonderful because
isn't that great?
Having a balance between the yin and the yang, and this also is about men embracing their feminine side,
right?
And women embracing their feminine side rather than trying to be masculine,
right?
That's
right.
Important.
Absolutely. Now, from 2011 to 2015, that's when Uranus and Pluto will square each other.
In
incredibly dynamic signs. So if you're looking for warlike environments or terrorist-type environments or certainly environments with really massive changes, I think that would be the time frame. So that's ahead of us. What we're seeing now, as far as I'm concerned, is nothing compared with what's ahead of us. But remember, energy is always just energy. It depends on how you use it, how you direct it, what you use it for, how you empower that energy. You're the motivator behind the energy. And we're going to be the ones to decide where it goes and how it's used. And if you haven't seen the DVD, The Secret, or if you haven't purchased it yet, I suggest that you do. There's a lot of good suggestions in that DVD, powerful suggestions about how to work with the law of attraction, but more than that, how to think and how to, about ideas and thinking and words and languaging, how even the way we use our words can either harm us or help us, and sometimes in big ways. So if we just, you know, see that and get a sense of that, how we're talking and how we're using words and how that actually begins to sculpt and mold and create and make our lives. If we can alter that in a way that's more positive. So with that in mind, I really urge everybody to get a hold of the DVD called The Secret. And The Secret is just the law of attraction. But the way the DVD is done is so good. And the people in it are not your usual type of leaders that are cool. No. It's real people. And I would say more mature spiritual speakers that are really, you know, in a fun way, but in an incredibly inspiring way, inviting us to think differently. And one of those people, of course, is the Reverend Michael Beckwith.
I like him.
Yeah, he used to be of the Science of Mind Church, Church of Religious Science.
I was trying to remember his name, and you just mentioned
Michael Beckwith. And he's now gone out on his own and in Culver City, California, established the Agape Center. And, of course, Agape is unconditional love. And he's having what is called Revelation 2007 in Vienna, Virginia. That's in the Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C. area, May 3 through 6. And let me tell you, my husband and I have already registered for that big conference. If you have never experienced Michael Beckwith in your life, you want to do that. He is a man of God who preaches from his heart and speaks only truth and does so in a way that grabs you. He is so good.
He was the one person that I resonated with when I saw The Secret.
Oh,
he was the one person who
is the one
from the heart.
Right. There's just no one else like Michael Beckwith. Forget about all your other New Age metaphysical leaders. Just get Michael Beckwith. And their website, I think, is www.agapelive.com. And just click on the left-hand side where it says, or at the bottom where it says Revelation Conference 2007. That's what we did, and we're now registered. I truly feel that the time frame that will be the time of greatest change for planet Earth is between the years of 2013 and 2029. Now, I want to talk about that kind of briefly here because it really brings to heart and to mind my research on children who have undergone near-death experiences. And let me talk just briefly about that, because I did a lot of work with children, and of course my book, The New Children and Near-Death Experiences, I urge anybody and everybody to get that book. We just don't know enough about children, their after effects, their near-death experiences, how it affects them. They have the same experiences, they have the same after effects, but it affects them differently. And I really urge everybody to get that book. Well, in the back of that book, I talk about one of the things I did with the kids, because, you know, I'm a field worker. Yes, I've used three questionnaires in my life. Everything else is field work, and you know, all of my work is original. I'm not a literature searcher. I do, you know, a front street work. Well, you know, I use police investigative techniques as my protocol, so a lot of people just call me the gumshoe of near death. So I'm out there on the streets and in people's homes and so forth. And one of the things I noticed about, maybe about a fourth of the kids that I worked with, and they were very, very specific. They said, "We're here for the changes." And I would query them, you know, "What do you mean the changes?" "Well, planet Earth, the changes that planet Earth is going through. We're here for the changes." "Well, you know, you can't ask dates. I mean, you might as well throw your research out the door if you're going to ask for dates. It just doesn't hold up. Ken Ring did that, and it just didn't hold up. And I knew better."
Yeah, so that would be so misleading, because time is actually elastic, as I explained to people.
Well, what you do is, and what I did is, I said, "Describe for me what you're going to look like when the changes occur." And the kids would describe what they looked like, and you know, basically what their lives were like. And depending on the age of the child, they were either adults with older children still at home and still involved in their work and everyday life, or they were grandparents with grandchildren. And so bearing, you know, the age of the taking into consideration the age of the child, I pulled out my handy-dandy little calculator and just projected ahead, you know, about how old would they be, you know, what would be the time frame when they would be an older parent or they would be a grandparent, a fairly new grandparent or an older parent. And all of them were in the time frame of 2013 to 2029. Now, the coup de grace came for me when I was reading the generational research of William Howe and Neil Strauss. Now, they're statisticians. They're generational researchers. And I'm also a generational researcher, but, you know, I don't use statistics quite like they do. And I was reading their book, Generations. And if you ever want to read a good book about the generations in the United States from its beginning to God only knows how long far ahead, you want the work of William Strauss and Neil Howe. I don't think there's anybody who's done a better job. And in the back of their book, they project ahead. And they project it, and they found through cycles and statistical research that the time when the United States, they were just talking about the United States, the time when the United States would face the greatest challenges in its history, in all of our history, and the kind of challenge they would be facing would be like combine the Revolutionary War and the Civil War and World War One and most of the wars we've ever fought in. Put all of those together, and it's that kind of energy and that kind of challenge. They called it a time of apocalyptic disaster and apocalyptic achievement, going both directions. Just incredible achievement, like Buck Rogers in the 21st century kind of achievement, and also apocalyptic earth changes and that kind of thing. And their time frame was between, hold on to your hats, 2013 to 2029. The same time the children who had had near-death experiences told me. The very same time. Wow. And all you have to do now is look at astrology and look ahead and look at the movement of the major planets and how they play off each other, and you get the same time frame. It's after the ending of the Mayan calendar. In fact, the next year. So they talk about all these things leading up to the ending of the Mayan calendar. I'm looking at what happens after the ending of that calendar. To me, that will be what that's where the tail hangs. That's going to be the major time. Now, there's been a lot of predictions made by various astrologers, and they say that 2017, so that's in this time frame, will be the rebirth of the United States. And my little logical mind is saying, rebirth? You know, did we die? And if you look at this, the big cycles that our country has now entered, that 70-year cycle we began last year, and then the world begins this big new cycle in December of 2008, it's going to make some real big changes in society, in our government, and in our financial structure. So maybe there's something to that. But what I want to underscore here for 2017, bearing on if things continue the way they are now, astronomers have predicted we could have the last solar eclipse, full solar eclipse that year. I say the last one because the moon, believe it or not, is spiraling away from Earth. It is moving away from Earth. Now, 2018, the year after that, Uranus enters Taurus. This is where you have the big Earth stuff. Safety and security, major issues, fortunes change, economies switch. Then just a really brief, let me just go through very briefly here because I want to end on a really high note. So let me briefly say 2024, the goal of NASA is to have a permanent lunar base. We want a permanent base on the moon by 2024. 2025, Uranus enters Gemini. I believe that will be the real dawning of the Aquarian age because that's when Pluto enters Aquarius, and also because of a lot of other things going on then. I think that's when we really begin the age of Aquarius. Is in 2025. However, it doesn't come into ascendancy until about 2133, and I'll talk about that more in a little bit. Now, in 2029, again, our astronomers have predicted that an asteroid will make a really close flyby to Earth, 2029, really close. 2034 to 2036, that's when John Hogue, the great astrologer, predicts World War III. So, and 2036 is when we're supposed to have another asteroid near miss. So certainly what could be a time of upheaval. But the really good part is if you look at the esoteric traditions and you really study energy and the movements of energy and people and evolution, then supposedly 2080 is the year of the birth of the next great avatar. Our next great messiah is supposed to come in 2080. But here we have Sitchin coming along. You know, he's the one who wrote the 12th planet and has done so much research and claims that we were all, that human beings were created by the people from the planet Nibiru. He has predicted the return of Nibiru in 2085. And then, of course, the last big one between 2132 and 2133 was the 33rd passage of Halley's Comet. That's when we are finally completely into the age of Aquarius. We talk about Earth changes. I just want to quickly remind people that it isn't just Earth changes. It's our own foolishness. And let me give you an example of that. In Taiwan, they have a building, the world's highest skyscraper. It's called Taipei 101. It's the tallest building in the world. That area of the world was the most solid the rock strata, the most solid on the planet. That's probably why they built the building there. However, the building was too high and too heavy. It's too darn heavy. And so what it has done is caused man-made splits in the earth underneath it, and now they're having regular earthquakes there. We caused those. It was not Mother Nature. We caused those. Humans caused that by being foolish with the way they thought they could build anything that they wanted to build.
And that's an important point, because a lot of people don't realize that many of the catastrophes that we have on this planet are actually induced by human beings and not natural disasters.
Right. And look at Monsanto and the GM seeds and their gene research.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're fooling around with seeds, and because they're causing all kinds of gene mutations in the seeds,
Yes. They
have created superbugs and superweeds.
Yes.
Isn't that incredible? Even organic farms, if the seeds blow in, or any of the fuzz or the dirt or anything blows in from those fields, it gets all over the organic fields, and you get super bugs and super weeds that we can't kill with any of our known methods. This mutation that they came up with is affecting the entire organic farming industry. You know, it's our foolishness. It's our, I could go on and on about that. Who cares?
Yes.
You know, who cares? We care. And if we're alert, maybe we can speak out and take action, or at least talk about it and, be that voice, hopefully, that makes a difference. But some of the incredibly good things, and there's so many good things that are happening, and some of the incredibly good things is we now have this, it's an organization called One Laptop Per Child. Maybe you've heard of it. You know, there's been all kinds of newspaper clippings on it. In the nation and the world, they're talking about it. This organization plans to put these simple laptops, these really, really simple little ones, they plan to put one in the lap of every child on earth. So if you want to be part of that program, you want to get www.laptop.org. And be part of this program that fights illiteracy in the world and says, let's bring the world's children up to speed so they are not dominated or molded by these curriculums and these cultures that are literally almost medieval.
Oh,
let's at least get them up to basics. And one laptop per child. I just think that is so exciting. And people say, well, with all these upheavals, what do we do? How do we live through this? I would say that the best clue, the best advice, comes from J.R.R. Tolkien in The Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
And if you really look at that series of three books, he's talking about the ending of the third world, the time of the astral beings and the fairies and the elves and the dwarves and, all these different kinds of magical people, their world, which was the third world, moving into the fourth world, which is the world of man and woman, of the human. And so when he's talking about these clash of worlds, where one world ends and another world begins, he's literally talking about what's happening now, because the fourth world is ending and the fifth world is beginning. We're moving from the fourth into the fifth, which is a much more high-tech world. It's a very different kind of world that we talked about last week. And so I think it's only proper and fair and good and really wise to look at this themes that he developed in his work. Because if you look at those broader themes, they're the kind of wisdom, advice, that kind of vision that gets a people through the ending of one world and into another, how you embrace the new world. And these are the major themes that come from the Lord of the Rings. The common man and woman are the heroes. Take glory in ordinary events. Each age requires us to stand on an issue. Persevere even in the midst of hardships. All races must unite and work together. Have the courage to travel back to Source. That means deity, that means God, that means Allah, whatever you want to call Source. Undo everything that went astray. Good always triumphs over evil, get this, because evil always serves the good.
Yes.
No one advances unscathed. There's no such thing as innocence. Through willpower and decisiveness, we rediscover what we already know.
Well, that is
now
good.
Hang on that.
Yes. This is really wonderful. We've got literally 1 minute left. That's a wonderful note to end on because we've got a lot to think about.
You know, through science, we know what it takes to change the world. It takes 4%. We used to think it takes 10 or 25% or whatever, whatever. We now know scientifically it only takes 4% to unblock traffic, to change a problem, to change a people, to take over and reorder anything. It only takes 4%. The yeast, the percentage of the yeast that changes the world is only 4%. So I say to everybody, be part of the 4%.
And that's about the percentage of NDEers who come back to
Yes, it is. 4% of the population.
That's
4% of the population. So, hey, fellow NDEers, we're the yeast.
There we go.
And anybody and everybody else can join as well. It only takes 4%. Choose to be the 4%.
And that is so wonderful. I want to thank you once again, PMH, for being on our show, Toward the Light, Leading Back to the Source. And, of course, we'll have you again soon, and we'll continue more of your wonderful discussions. This has been tremendous.
Well, just a little briefie here. A lot of this material is in my book, Beyond the Indigo Children. So do get a hold of that book if you'd like.
Beyond the Indigo Children, the coming of...
the new children and the coming of the fifth world. Yeah.
Oh, there we go. And your website is pmhatwater.com. And my website is towardthelight.org. And please do remember that it is only with the heart that one sees rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. And again, only love prevails. We will speak to you next week on our transmission of Toward the Light when we will have NDEer Shelley Yates on our program. Join us next Sunday. Blessings and light. We will speak to you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.